be at New Barn again. I was just thinking as we were sitting there singing, when New Barn was started, which I think is over 30 years ago now, things were a bit quiet to begin with, and so the church at Wilmington, from which this church was planted, we used to come over as house groups on Sunday mornings to swell the numbers here to help to get things going. And I can remember coming with our house group on many Sunday mornings and enjoying fellowship with you. And I haven't been for quite a long time, but it's nice to be back today. And we look to the Lord for his help and his blessing. I always give out cards when I'm preaching so that people can see what we're talking about, or at least hopefully. These cards, they're all over the place. I've been preaching all over the country for many, many years, so there are cards all over the place. And I was a bit disappointed once when I went to a church and the lady said, "We love these cards, Alan, and we've got them all up on the wall." So I said, "Oh, that's nice." She said, "Yes, they're in the ladies' toilet." And I didn't feel quite so pleased, but there you go. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, which is our chapter this morning. I didn't realise this until last Sunday, when Ron let me know I was speaking on Ephesians chapter 4. I had another word in mind that I was going to bring, and then suddenly this was sprung on me. Ephesians chapter 4. Get down to it. Here we are. Let's read it through. It's quite a challenging chapter, I find. And we're going to be challenged by what we read and what we're talking about this morning. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you.
Amen.
Well, it's a weighty chapter, isn't it? And quite a lot to get through on one session, one Sunday morning. But you can see the three headings that I picked out as three of the truths that we're given in this chapter. A walk that is worthy, and gifts that generate growth, and behaviour that is blameless. And I think that would be quite enough for us for this morning. We could have gone anywhere in the chapter, but let's think through these three headings. Now, you'll see that I've put on the left-hand side at the top what I thought, as I read it through several times, I thought, that really is the key verse. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And if that is true, if we were obeying that, then all these things would follow on.
Yeah.
We would have love for one another,
yeah,
and we would not fall out, and so on and so forth. We would live those good lives. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I looked up a commentary on this, and this is what it said. To grieve someone is to cause sorrow or pain. The verse reveals that the Holy Spirit is not just a force or influence, but a divine person with emotions. When believers act in ways that contradict God's character, especially in the context of bitterness, anger, slander, and malice, it saddens the Spirit who dwells within us. And I'm sure we all sort of know the feeling, don't we? If we step out of line, that inner monitor speaks to us, doesn't it? The voice of conscience speaks to us. And if we have received the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, then we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And when a person trusts Christ as their Saviour, the conscience is quickened or made alive, and suddenly people find, I've often heard this, you know, things I used to do, now I feel very uncomfortable doing, because their conscience has come to life. And conscience is the monitor. And we can easily grieve the Holy Spirit. We can easily cause him sadness. And our conscience tells us. We can sometimes silence it for long enough so that he stops speaking in that particular area. And that's very dangerous. We must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to grieving the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to practical living, we are indwelt by the Spirit. You saw this in chapter 1, verse 13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Galatians 5, 16 to 18 in the New Living Translation helps us here. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And we're all aware, aren't we, of that battle that goes on within. The natural desires of our hearts, and then the Spirit of God showing us that that's wrong, and the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us. And the important thing, I'm sure, is to keep short accounts with the Lord.
Amen.
Don't let sin go on unconfessed and unforgiven, because it comes as a it comes as a barrier to our fellowship, doesn't it? It doesn't affect our relationship, we are still children of God, but it affects our fellowship. So to use a simple illustration, when I was rushing around our garden as a 10-year-old and kicked the football through the bathroom window, I knew my dad had a very big, well, about as big as my hand is now. I thought, that is going to hurt. And I ran down the garden. I tried to get away. You see, I didn't want to go and face my dad because of what I'd done. And isn't that a bit like when we sin, we don't want to go back to God. Sometimes we feel too ashamed. And yet, of course, when I did go in and confess to my father, immediately there was forgiveness, there was chastisement as well, but there was forgiveness and our fellowship was restored.
Yeah.
The relationship was always there. I was still his son, whatever I did. But that fellowship was restored when I took confession, when I went into my father, confessed my sin and asked him to forgive me. And it's just the same for us when we grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't put off that confession, because you'll be miserable and you won't be any use to God all the time. That is the situation. So let's start with our first one here, a walk that is worthy. And you can see the verse, it's our first verse in the chapter here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Chapter 4 is starting the second half of Ephesians. And Ephesians is like many epistles, there's a doctrinal section, and you've had that in the first three chapters, chapter 1 to 3, and you've been going through some great doctrinal truths, I'm sure you've really enjoyed it, and now we come practical outworking. So the word therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, in view of what's gone before, therefore I will walk in the Spirit. Beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And walking is very simply taking one step after another. You knew that, but I'm just reminding you. Just taking one step after another. And the Christian life is taking one step after another. There are lots of verses that talk about walking. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Take one step at a time in love. Galatians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Take one step at a time in wisdom. In Galatians 5:16 it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Take one step at a time, depending upon the Holy Spirit within you. And that's our Christian life. It's one step at a time, isn't it? Every day, one step at a time, just looking to the Lord and taking one step at a time with him. Now, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You've been going through the early chapters of Ephesians. Let me read a section to you. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as, listen carefully, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I always feel I've got to sort of stand up a bit straight when I realise that I was chosen by God before the foundation of the world. I am part of God's eternal plan. That's amazing, isn't it? And walk worthy of the vocation by which you were called. Walk worthy of the fact that God chose you. That's a very high standard, isn't it? Walk worthy of what God has done in your life. Here's another section in chapter 2, which you've already gone through. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God has made us alive.
Yeah, amen.
And we are seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Walk worthy of the vocation with which you were called. As I say, it's a very high standard, isn't it? Very high standard. Ephesians 3, 17 to 21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How much did the Lord Jesus love us? Well, just take a glance at Calvary.
Yeah.
And you'll see how much he loved us. Walk worthy of the vocation by which you were called. Walk worthy of God's eternal purpose. Walk worthy of the fact that you have been made alive, you who were dead have been made alive in Christ. Walk worthy of the love that the Lord Jesus showed there at the cross.
Yeah.
So I say, it's a tremendously high standard. But as we've said, we are indwelt by God through his Spirit. So the Spirit dwells within us. Follow him, walk one step at a time with him in order to fulfill that command. Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And then let's go on to gifts that generate growth. Verses 11 and 12. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right. Various things to note. First of all, it is God who distributes gifts.
Yeah.
And we've got it there. He himself gave some to be apostles. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Listen very carefully. Helps. Administrations. Variety of tongues. Helps is a gift of God. Are you a help? That's a gift of God. You don't have to be one that stands on the front and preach. You don't necessarily have to work miracles. Well, not many of us work miracles. And you don't even have to speak in tongues necessarily. It's a wonderful gift. But you may just be a help.
Amen.
A help. And the same truth in 1 Corinthians 12, 11. By one and the same Spirit works all these things. By one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So gifts are given by God. Do you ever envy people their gifts? I sometimes do. I was in the Open Air Mission serving the Lord for 32 years, and I was the administrator, I was the secretary of the society. And we had sometimes 12, sometimes 14 full-time evangelists out preaching the gospel in the open air, town centres and race courses and fairgrounds and so on and so forth. And these men, when I was with them, I would see them and they could walk up to anybody and start a conversation and get the gospel into the conversation in a perfectly natural way. And I thought, I just wish I could do that. They would stand and give out tracts. When I went to give out tracts, if someone refused one, that sort of shut me up. I didn't want to give that any more tread. And I thought, if only I had that gift of being a bit more outgoing, you know, give that tread. But God made me different.
Yeah.
And when I used to talk to the evangelists, I used to say to them, look, you are out day by day by day, preaching the gospel, reaching people, chatting to them, passing on literature. But you couldn't do that if I wasn't in the office looking after the finance that comes in. I'm as an administrator, I'm not bad. And also sorting out their national insurance and tax for their salaries. You know, I had that gift, I could do that. And they could do the preaching and talking to people so naturally. And I used to envy them the gift. But then you say, no, I must be very, very thankful for the gifts God has given me.
Yeah.
And I must, you know, trust him that that's what he wanted me to be. And that no one gift is more important than another.
Amen.
Okay? If you use the figure of the body, and it's a very useful analogy in this context, isn't it? The church is like the body, all different members, hands, arms, feet, body and so on and so forth, but all necessary to be a body. Mm-hmm. And if every part is working well, then the body works well. Mm-hmm. And we are all parts of the body.
That's right.
And some people have a very prominent place, and some people have a very back seat place. And their time is spent in the kitchen, and their time is spent coming in and sweeping the church during the week, sorting out the chairs for the Sunday school. Tiny little jobs, but just as important as the upfront ones.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So here's my analogy, here's a way to remember it, okay? Many years ago, I was coming out of the bathroom after a shower, and I caught my little toe on the door, and I yelled. And my little toe was sticking away from my foot. Didn't look at all good. And Pam was quite concerned. Oh, I'll take you up to casualty. And I said, I know what they'll do. They'll just push it back and put a tape around the next toe to keep it together. So I just pushed it back, put some elastoplast around to bind it up nice and tight. And within about 3 months, it was okay. But do you know, I limped for 3 months. And I realised that little toes are important. Okay? So you may feel you're a little toe. Little toes are important. Everybody is important. For the body to work efficiently, every member has to be working. So that's another good lesson. The purpose is the building up of the body to generate growth. Again, the New Living Translation, I thought this was very helpful. The gifts. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God that we will mature in the Lord. This is what it's all about. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Yeah.
It's a good picture, isn't it? Good picture. Newborn Christian Fellowship. One of the local show of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And all your gifts are needed.
Yeah.
Not everybody can play the cello, wish I could. But we are all gifted. And don't ever underestimate your own gift. It's very important to sort of identify your gift, to know what your gift is, and then to use it. But the end of Colossians, there's a very interesting verse I noticed years and years ago. Colossians 4 verse 17 says this, and say to Archippus, no idea who he was, not a reference in scripture, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfil it. It looks as if Archippus was getting a bit lazy. And Paul had a special word for him. Take heed to the ministry, Archippus. Take heed to the ministry you've received. Use it, fulfil it. Do something about it. And I don't know, perhaps somebody this morning needs to hear that from the Lord. Right, behaviour that is blameless, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this, I believe, this is sort of where the rubber hits the road, as they say. Relationships with other Christians. I don't know whether you know this, but sometimes Christians don't get on very well. More seriously, sometimes Christians hurt each other. And there are a lot of hurt Christians around. I know quite a number. And I think this is one of those areas where we grieve the Spirit probably more than in many other areas.
Yeah.
Our relationships with each other, our relationships with other Christians. Some we naturally get on with, that's absolutely lovely. And you don't have to be best buddies with everybody, but there must be nothing between us. No bad feeling. Well, we read it there, didn't we? Bearing with one another in love, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering. We get at the end of the chapter, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And this was a problem in the early church. And in almost every letter that Paul wrote, he had something to say about it. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I've met a few Christians who are wise in their own opinion. Philippians 2, I often think of this passage because this is so very telling. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. I want it. Selfish ambition or conceit. I know what's best. But in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Wow. It sort of knocks, takes a knock at us, doesn't it? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, which we're all experts at, but also for the interests of others. And in actual fact, the Lord Jesus gave us the ultimate command on this. John 13 verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he said that just before going out and being nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
Christ-like love for one another, sacrificial love for one another. A new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Just one or two practical tips as we draw to a close. If there's a real breakdown in your relationship with another believer, do get it put right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
because neither of you are going to be much use to the Lord until that is put right.
Mm-hmm.
And best to do it today. Because verse 27 says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, I'm a perfectly ordinary Christian and I have problems with people. We all do. But sometimes, if there's a real rub, set yourself to pray for the person concerned. Pray for them.
Yeah.
And try and think through their circumstances. Try and see the world through their eyes. Try and see what they're going through. What makes them as they are at the moment. And most important, this is what I've found most helpful. Imagine how the Lord sees that person. Because he loves them just as much as he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He died for them just as much as he died for you. See them through the eyes of the Lord. How does the Lord see them? And as I say, I have found that to be the most challenging and the most helpful thing when it comes to personal relationships. So we've covered a lot of ground, and it's all summed up in the verse on the top left of the card. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that's the key verse to Ephesians chapter 4.
Amen.
Ron said at the beginning, I'm going to book you again, Alan. So I said, well, wait until I preach before you make up your mind. So I'll have to wait to see.